All right, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey guys, how are you doing? This is your host for Mandated. Let's talk about it, and we're going to talk about it today. But before anything else, I want to just encourage you today, wherever you are, whatever thing you're into right now, I hope that you're able to make it through, that you have insight on the goals that you want to accomplish for yourself and maybe for others today. Make it happen. And let me put it this way. My managers, I spoke to them on and off like about a year or so ago in regards to what is the next level of promotion for me. He was telling me that what he does, or what he puts his managers through, are small little bucket items. And what that is, you know, just imagine a bucket and you have these little things that you have in there. What can you address quickly or within 5 minutes to get that item done, you know, to get closer to your goal? And that's what we need in regards to any success that we're trying to achieve. You know, it's one thing getting up in the morning and just taking that pause, that 5 minute pause for yourself to get your mind situated, get your body moving, get your spirit centered for those things that you have ahead of you for the day. That's one little small 5 minute item that you can do. You know, answering emails, answering small little text messages, but this is all in regards to moving closer to your goal. So I just want to encourage you that way, if I can, to just stay focused today in all things that you have on your plate. You know, one of my coworkers told me a while back, this is a senior tech, he said, or he asked me this question. It's like, Selwyn, how do you eat an elephant? And I've never heard the joke before. So I said, well, I don't know, Rob. How do you eat an elephant? He said, one bite at a time. Yeah, very simple, somewhat corny, but very true, right? You can't sit down at a table with a whole elephant. You got to eat it one bite at a time. And that's how we have to tackle our day, one bite at a time. So, all right, guys, just to recap on what we spoke about last time, we're still in the Jonah Bible study. And our last chapter was chapter 2. We went through that, and that was basically titled Getting Out of Hell. And just to review that quickly, you know, this is where Jonah was now in the belly of the fish, which the fish is never described, period. And I'm glad it is not, because we would get kind of caught up on the type of fish, et cetera, et cetera. But to just think about what a fish does and what it represents, one thing is that it moves. It's constantly on the move. And to tie that into what it represents ministry. You know, as Jesus met the disciples early on in the ministry, beginning his ministry, that is, you know, one key phrase he had, I believe it's in Matthew 5, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it's so ironic that Jonah was supposed to be the fisher of Nineveh, but something was prepared. That was the fish prepared to fish him, right? The great fish caught him. Because he was running. And, you know, God has a way of capturing us when we are running. Ooh, that's good already. God has a way of capturing us when we are running from him, his voice, what he has called us to do, our calling, et cetera, et cetera. All of that, he has a way of still reaching out and staying connected with us. And, you know, in all of that, I was not picturing, but talking about the belly and how that represents those dark places in life. Because mind you, he's in the belly of Sheol. And he says this in chapter 2, verse 2, if I'm correct, you know, that he was in the belly of Sheol. And Sheol in Hebrew translates to hell. And he was in the darkest place of his life at that time with no light at all, because there's no candle with him. You know, when he got thrown overboard, he didn't say, hey, first, hold on, let me take a lantern with me because I don't know what's about to happen, et cetera, et cetera. He was totally in the dark by himself. And sometimes that is honestly the best place God can reach us, because we're now isolated from the world and God can now touch us. He can speak to us. He can show us who we are. He can heal us. He can restore us. He can birth us. And that was one point that I wanted to bring out of that particular chapter, is that he can birth us out of those dark places. And in the scripture, you know, in order to be birthed from one world to the next, one thing in that you need light. And what do you mean that you need light to be birthed from one world to the next? Let's go to the creation story. You know, it was dark. You know, that is how God orchestrated things, that he brought light out of the darkness. He brought a birthing out of a place to create a new world, create a new world, one that he already had in his thoughts, that he formed it and just speaking it. And in that chapter, Jonah had to speak. He had to pray his way out of that situation. And in order to pray your way out of that situation, you have to know that there's something inside of you, although there's something around you, that is the darkness. And what was inside of him was the light. So I hope that you know that you are the light of the world. All right. Okay, so now we're going to transition to chapter 3 and picking up where we left off. Jonah has now been vomited out of the belly of the whale. He's now on dry land and he is here to approach Nineveh now. And chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.'" That's verses 1 and 2. And what stood out to me on that is in verse 1, where it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, right? Let's parallel that to chapter 1, verse 1, where the word of the Lord came to Jonah initially, and he heard that. But what is the direction comparing these two? In chapter 1, his direction was, "No, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. So I'm going to go ahead and charter this boat and go to Tarshish." Now that he has went through all this peril, he is now given a second chance. I mean, really, this is a literally second chance, that is, the Lord is like, "Okay, I'm speaking to you again. I need you to get up and go speak to my people." And you know, we have to look at ourselves in this, is that we at times have come to the bottom of our rope, you know, per se. We have come to the bottom of our rope that we have nowhere else to go. There's no more rope. We're as far as we can go. We're down in the pit. You know, there's nothing else left. So we have no choice but to look up, right? We have no choice but to look up. And this is Jonah looking up, hearing God's word again, and said, "All right, Lord, you know what? I don't want to go through this." Now, he did not specifically say this in the Bible or in these scriptures, but I'm just imagining this is like, "Okay, I'm done. I don't want to be put back in another storm. I sure don't want to be in the belly of the whale. And I don't know if I rebel again, if things are actually going to be worse than that." And let me say this. I understand this in the scripture, is that when a devil is rebuked, he is cast out, that devil, that demon, comes back 7 times stronger, right? And what I want to say is that God has given us the opportunity, that he has removed us from a certain life so that we can live a life according to his word. But we tend to go astray. We tend to fall away, or backslide, as we say in an old church, that we now put ourselves in a worse situation than what we were in before. And I know that for myself. I know that personally, when I was going through a divorce in 2014, or a separation and subsequent divorce in 2014, I had the opportunity to go back to my lifestyle. And that lifestyle was giving my body away, per se, you know, being a part of, I have to say, sex groups. And you know what that is. That was something taboo years ago, but it still, of course, goes on, because that's part of this world, right? And when I was going through that time of separation, a lot was going on for me, where in essence, the devil and God, you know, I would say was speaking to me. It's like the Tom and Jerry cartoons where you see the angel on one side of the shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. And they're both speaking at different times, you know, telling them what they need to do, et cetera. And I felt that's who I was at that time, what was happening to me at that course of my life. And I had made a point to say, I don't want to go back to that life because I knew what the results were. And coming out of that, you know, I said, God, I know you've called me. Matter of fact, when I went into that lifestyle, I told God, it's like, I know you have called me. I literally said this. I know you have called me, but I want to do this, right? And the scripture says that God will give you over to a reprobate mind, right? A mind that is contrary to him. You know, this is your choice, not his, because he's given us free will, right? And I went into that lifestyle and things just, it wasn't supposed to turn out great anyway, right? This is all according to the flesh. So coming out of that, years later, you know, in the divorce I was just speaking about, I said, I never want to go through that again. I'm not putting myself through that again because I am called and I'm supposed to follow what God has for me. So in tying that into Jonah, Jonah had that same opportunity to disobey once again, though he's had a second chance, and say, you know what? I'm still going to fight this, Lord, because I know I don't want to do this. I know that you're a gracious God and you will save these people, but you're not going to do it through me. But I thank God that he did arise and go to Nineveh. And it says in verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. That is a hard word, I would say, for any prophet to speak toward a person and or city, right? And we know that God wants to heal any and everybody that is willing and or wanting to be healed, that have came to him through his son, Jesus Christ, as he has given himself up on the cross and through his ministry and being resurrected and still ministering mightily after that through many signs and wonders. But I'll say this from a Christian perspective, you know, I want to say more specifically a believer, a Christian standpoint is that we love to hear the thing of people being saved. But when we're asked to go speak to somebody, we're like, you know, we kind of turn our nose up at that particular person because we're like, oh, they don't deserve salvation. And, you know, isn't it so ironic that when many of us get saved, we start walking the path, we start doing the work of God. And then when he's really asked us to do something even out of our comfort zone, it tends to look like what we used to look like and we don't want to do it. And, you know, if we were to keep that in mind, that I used to be that same person that God is asking me to speak to right now, we'll be far better off in ministering to those people in need. Checking ourselves, putting it aside, and speaking to those that need to hear God's word. It's not that we can save anybody because it's not us anyway. It's God's word that is bringing salvation to an individual, a family, and the masses. And we feel that it is necessarily all on us. No, it's not all on us. But that one thing is that he has asked us to do. And this is the one thing God has asked Jonah to do, and it was to go speak to this people. Matter of fact, let me put it into context. Imagine you're in a city and you're downtown, and in many metropolitan cities, you can find homeless men and women and children everywhere. Not everywhere, but in many places. And you can imagine walking down the street in downtown, and on the opposite side is this homeless person. And God says, I need you to just go over there and take them a bottle of water, give them a coat, or just bring them some food. And you stand there and you say, no. because you feel, no, I got a pressing place. I need to be on time. I really don't want to be around somebody that doesn't look like me. I don't want to be in the presence of somebody that may smell. I don't want to be in the presence of someone's language that is contrary to who I am. So we don't cross the street. And this is Jonah here not wanting to cross the street because he's selfish. He's into himself. We have to understand that we cannot be self-centered, but need to be Christ-centered, centric about Christ and what he's doing. And the word continues to say, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. I'm going to stop right there real quick. From the greatest to the least. Now, when it says the greatest to the least, it could mean from the oldest to the youngest. It could mean a person with more authority compared to one with the least authority. It didn't matter. But the word came to the people. And this is what God wanted to do, in that he was giving them a chance through Jonah to repent. And that's all God wanted, was for us to repent, to come to him with open heart, with a penitent heart, and say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Lord, forgive me for not following your word. Lord, forgive me for not crossing the street. Lord, forgive me for not just giving a meal to somebody. Lord, forgive me for not showing up on time and being into myself. And you know, the word in regards to fasting is not about just being able to consecrate ourselves from the world. But it says this in Isaiah 6, 6 through 8. This is it. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Woo, man, that's good right there. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. I could speak on that right there. This is not speaking about a person being stark naked in their bodysuit per se, but in essence, it is. If a person needs to be clothed physically, do you not have the ability to go to the store and purchase something to clothe them? Do you not have the ability to clean out your closet to provide clothing for that person or other individuals as well? Is this not the purpose of the fast, that you get out of yourself and get into somebody else, is what God is saying? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I want to go back one verse. It says, and your righteousness shall go before you. It's not your righteousness. This is the righteousness God has given you. Not that you are, not that this is your work, but this is the work of God that he's asked you and allowed you to be a part of. So we should be glorified in that God is allowing us to be part of something spectacular. It may not be feeding 5,000 people with two loaves of bread or two fish and five loaves of bread, or 7,000 subsequent to that. But it could be 10 people that you have enough food in your own pantry that you're able to share the love of God with, right? And you know, we're in the season of giving. We just came off of Thanksgiving. We're now into the Christmas season. Then we'll be going into the New Year season. And you know, we relegated to these 3 months in regards to Thanksgiving and blessings and giving, but we have 12 months out of the year, not three, that we can continue to do this. So I just want to encourage you to be a part of something bigger than you. And Jonah had the same opportunity, but he squandered it initially because of himself. And then the verse goes on to say, and I think this is really good here. It says, then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn his evil way from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Ha. Huh. Okay, man, let me tell you what's so great about this. It's one thing for the word of God to come to the people through Jonah, that they went through their period of fasting. They went through their period of putting on the sackcloth and sitting in ashes. But when it comes to the king, the head of the house, the head of the land, when it comes to the president, when it comes to your governor, when it comes to the chief of police, when it comes to those leaders that are, when it comes to those that are leading in your city, oh, how mighty this really can be. And this is what is so significant, is that it says that the king cast aside his robe. And let me say it this way. For a king and or queen to cast aside their robe, it's a statement of saying, I'm putting aside my royalty. I'm putting aside my priestly duties. I'm putting aside my authority. I'm putting aside my position and influence so that I can display the emotions that are going on inside of me, that I can how do I want to say this? That all of those items mean nothing when it comes to the presence of God. None of those things mean anything when it comes to the salvation of my people. None of those things mean anything when it comes to my one-on-one personal relationship with God. So if it takes me to cast aside my crown and my robe, my signet ring, anything that is external, I have no problem doing it, because what I want, I need to do it, or excuse me, whatever I want, I need to do it in the presence of God. I need to be humble. I need to be sorrowful. I need to go through this pain. I need to repent, because there's something greater at stake than me sitting on a throne. And it's not saying that Jonah preached some masterful message, right? Not in the sermons of how we think about today, that we have ministers, great or small, speaking this eloquent exegesis of the message. It didn't say anything about that. He just spoke the word of God, knowing that his spirit will move upon the people. And that's the expectation when we are speaking God's word. It's not that we are doing it. It is that the Holy Spirit through us is able to touch the lives of people so that they can see their wicked ways, repent, and ask for salvation, and then do the good works, right? Because we're not saved by grace. We are saved by grace through faith, right? And not of ourselves, so that we do not become boastful in this, but we're saved to do the works of God. And I tell you right now, you are called to do the works of God, but you've got to get out of self and move and let God's glory shine through you. You know, you have the ability to impact so many lives right now, but you're staying so stuck on what you want that you can't help somebody else get to the next level. Didn't somebody help you get to where you are now? Didn't somebody couple or partner with you? Didn't somebody teach you? Didn't somebody give you something so that you can be better at this particular moment? Stop forgetting the day of your salvation and help somebody else to theirs. Come on. I'm sorry. You know, we've definitely got to continue moving in what God is trying to do in and through us. You know, there's so much more I'm sure that can be said about this. And I would love to hear your feedback and your thoughts on what is going on. There's fruit that's supposed to come from this. There's fruit that's supposed to come from repentance. You know, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we got love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What fruit can we work on more? What seed should we plant that we do not have? this all ties in with getting into what God has in store for us, or what he has in store for those that he will bring that work through us, through you. Guys, I just want to leave you with this thought and prayer that you are able to see through the lens of God's eyes what work he wants to do through you. He has placed it on your heart. So I encourage you to move forward. I encourage you to step out of self and start making the necessary steps to begin manifesting that very thing that he has shown you. He has shown you something, and you've been questioning whether or not that actually is for you or somebody else. Get involved with it. Get involved with it, because there's somebody waiting for a word from you, but they can't get that word until you're in the correct position. And that is, I have to say, something about Jonah. He went out of position, right? Because he got into the boat, paid the fare to the mariners, and started headed toward Tarshish. Totally in the opposite direction, almost 2.5 times greater in distance than it was to Nineveh. He was out of position purposefully, but God brought him back into where he was supposed to be. This isn't about God forcing you to do something. This is about God showing that there's something bigger than you. And I'm telling you, he will bless you in this. This isn't about material things. He will, and let me just put it this way. He will bless your soul when you see that once you follow what he has asked you to do, you'll see the fruit of that very thing. And that fruit will come back to you. All right, guys, that is my prayer. That is my word today for you on Jonah chapter 3. And this is about casting aside authority and getting into God's direction. All right. Love you guys. And we'll be speaking again.